Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tom Ward, and I will be leading us through the memorial service this afternoon. The family of Cynthia Furness and the Minneapolis Society of Friends wants to welcome you to a memorial service recognizing the loss but celebrating the life of a very dear friend. In Quaker circles, that kind of friend is spelled with both a small f and a capital F. The memorial service will be conducted as a service of worship, but with attention to honoring the life, dedication, devotion, and spirit of the person we all know as Cynthia. We will begin with the reading of a short biography, followed by the first hymns, and the words for both hymns are included in the insert in the program. Then some of Cynthia's own writings will be read out loud. Following that, we'll settle into a time of worshipful silence, out of which vocal ministry and sharing may occur. All who are moved to share are encouraged to do so. Near the end of the service, we will sing the second hymn. Then we will settle back into a brief closing silence, after which I will conclude the service with a handshake. Silence is integral to Quaker worship. All vocal sharing, whether spoken, prayed, or sung, benefits from and is strengthened by the silence and meditation that precedes and follows each message. Today there will be ample opportunity to share our thoughts, prayers, memories, and our love for Cynthia. We ask everyone to be mindful of the previous speaker and to allow time for reflection on each message before rising to speak. To ensure that everyone can hear the vocal ministry today, microphones will be brought to those intending to speak. If you want to share, please stand, wait for a microphone to be brought to you. The added benefit of this is that we then can provide a recording to the family of all these memories. At the close of worship, the family invites everyone to share in some light refreshments that will be served in the hall behind me. Space, as we are very well aware, is limited here in the meeting house. So we're asking people to exit the meeting through either these two doors here, and then to flow around and come back in, and then we will congregate in the meeting house with refreshments. And feel free to move chairs around to get into groups that make sense. They don't have to stay in this configuration. One last note I was asked to share. Some of the meeting's children and some adults have been gathering flowers from their home gardens, bringing them to the meeting house and planting them in a special area of our garden out to the east side of the building. This area is to be known as Cynthia's garden. It is hard to think of a more moving or a more fitting tribute.
For gathering to celebrate Cynthia's life. As many of you know, she loved a party, and to see so many people that she loved so dearly gathered in one room on one day would have sent her into a state. And as some of you may know, she was great at working the room, and she would have met with each of you and taken your hands and told you what you meant to her and asked you about your life. When we arrived at Mom's apartment to begin the heartbreaking task of sorting through her carefully kept and recently downsized belongings, we discovered a colorful stack of journals and a row of folders and notebooks neatly labeled with the likes of my memoir, my autobiography, my family, my puppets, quotes. It is from these files of Cynthia that some of what I'll say was harvested. Cynthia was born in Richmond, Indiana on November 18, 1929 to Lowell Clark and Helen Huffman Patty. Her mother wasn't well after the birth, and Cynthia's father provided much of baby Cynthia's care in the first months and through her childhood. David Michael, Cynthia's brother, also known as Mickey, arrived before Cynthia's second birthday. They were an active, gregarious family, talkative and laughing at the dinner table, playing softball in the front yard, two against two, all involved in scouting and civic responsibilities, fishing, card games, and music. Ah, the music. Lowell played the piano in a dance band in his 20s and was a member of a Masonic glee club most of his adult life. Lowell taught Cynthia to play the piano, and they sang and played together often. At the age of eight, Cynthia received for Christmas two stringed marionettes in a cardboard stage, and thus began a lifelong partnership in entertainment between Cynthia and scores of puppets of every shape, size, and temperament. Cynthia came up with plays, and the dialogues would be carefully transcribed by her top fan and mother, Helen. And among Cynthia's files, we found her first play, Dr. Quack's Treasure Hunt, in Helen's beautiful cursive. At one point, Cynthia assessed that she had 11 distinct stage voices. And although she would perform with others throughout the years, most often it was Cynthia and her puppets. She operated and spoke for them all. Cynthia graduated from Richmond High School, home of the Red Devils, in 1947. The notes under her yearbook senior picture recognize her work on the school literary magazine, Y Teens, the tennis team, the school newspaper, her role as vice president of the Devil's Den, which was the name of the student activities board, the yearbook staff, Block R, a cheering squad, and floor hockey. The yearbook quote, supplied by Cynthia, says, "Impossible is a word I never utter." She met Paul Furness in a Quaker youth group. Cynthia appears to have made the first move, inviting the shy, polite Paul to a Sadie Hawkins dance. But we do know that Paul had seen Cynthia's picture on the boarding school desk of a classmate much earlier and had begun to dream. After Cynthia's graduation from Ball State with a degree in elementary education, on a sticky June afternoon, Paul and Cynthia married. Among Mom's treasures, we found dozens of tiny notes on scrap paper between the newlyweds in their first year of marriage in 1952. Dear Cianne, short for Cynthia Ann, this is just a note that you get my vote. I would be at sea, except that you love me. To Cynthia's only husband, Hi, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle. My husband's a wonderful guy. He's thoughtful and kind in every way, and his kisses, oh boy, and oh my. Hi, Mrs. I did some Christmas shopping, and I got the inspection report for the car sent out. Also, the card to Fred. I miss you. I wish you were here right now. I did forget to go to the store for groceries. Don't shoot. Here's a squeeze and a hug on paper. I love you so much, I'll probably crack some ribs when I get to hold you again. Me. Howdy, bub. Ahem, ahem. Did you know that je vous aime? Well, I do, and golly gee, I've heard you say that you love me. The two of us, forever then, answering our every yen with happiness in every cranny, till you're gramps and I am granny. Early in life, my three sisters and I began to suspect that our mom was not like other moms. There was the Donald Duck voice she used to get our attention, or when she was angry but wanted to disguise that fact. There were all the puppets we knew by name and regarded as slightly creepy house guests. There were the two plays she wrote, directed, and starred in the community center while caring for four daughters under the age of eight. She named the spiders living in the basement bathroom and asked us to please direct the shower spray away from their webs. We were only slightly disgruntled when we realized that the kids we thought had come to play with us actually came to visit with Cynthia. This was a pattern that replicated even into our middle age. For many children, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, neighbors, in a room of towering, talkative adults, Cynthia was the one hoping to catch their eye and escaped into some playful distraction, often with a bandana or handkerchief that was quickly, magically fashioned into a mouse who leapt out of Cynthia's hand. Cynthia's spoken expectations for her daughters on occasion fell on deaf ears or were met with teenage eye rolls when her observations clashed with our sense of our own coolness. But we took our best cues from the firm and vibrant way she lived. Be kind. Be you. Love you. Work hard. Be ready to share a joke, even if you just made it up. Keep your heart open to the wounded and the misunderstood, for they have much to share and may need our care and our courage. Love big. Although she aspired, not so secretly, to be a Broadway musical star, her uncompromised activism, her most triumphant expression of these principles through years of teaching, writing, and professional development of others, was for the care and improvement of the lives of children. And we have seen that she changed many of those precious lives. In closing, I want to go back to our gathering at Mom's assisted living apartment after her death. We had the door open into the hall, and Mo, one of the aides, stopped in to greet us. After passionately expressing her sadness and condolences, Mo leaned back on her heels and said, "Cynthia, she'd come down to the office and play with us." We knew just what she meant. And I'm sure you do too. So even when Cynthia doesn't come down the hall to remind us, or perhaps intentionally because she would like it so, play on.
The first hymn that we will sing is in the program. It's I Would Be True. And if you're able, would you stand?
Be Hello. Jane and I sort of split up some of the duties of looking through some of Cynthia's, well, hopefully all of Cynthia's journals. I know she kept them pretty much together, so I think we got them all. But Jane took half and I took the other half, and one of the pieces that I came across in her journal, and I think it's a poem that she had written just in one of the journaling sessions she participated in at the Courage Center. And I know she participated a lot in a journaling group here, and so I hope some of her friends from that are here today. But I thought I'd share a particular one that I came across. I thought it held extra meaning. It's titled, I Will Be a Song. I want to be something that gives people joy. I might be played, whistled, sung, danced, hummed. Children clap their hands, musicians tap their feet. I don't want to be the Star Spangled Banner, even though people stand when they sing that. I'd like to be in people's hearts, on their lips. I'd like to be ringing in the air, echoing in the hills, whispering in the leaves. I don't belong to anyone in particular, but I am universal. I've been translated into 900 languages and dialects. I go back to the beginning of time, and I will continue into the future. So long as people make, listen to, sing, or enjoy music. Thank you.
Okay, well, we're in the sharing time now. I didn't know what was happening next, so I knew Cynthia very well, so I hope everybody can hear me. Okay. Yeah, I knew Cynthia very well, and she was a friend of my mom's for many years, and she and my mom met at St. David's, and I was also a student at St. David's, and I was very shocked when she died because it happened suddenly, and she was so strong up until she died. I even heard the day she died, she was at the hospital. Her blood pressure was high, but she was still making jokes, and so she was still feeling okay. And so I know that she didn't want to go yet. I know she still wanted to live. And I know she liked poems. And so I wrote a poem. Kind of felt like she inspired me to write it. So, son of a gun, she was 81. That's how old she was. I knew her well, so I have a lot to tell. When I think of all the years, it brings me to tears. After all, she practically met me when I could crawl. She wanted to live longer, but she was so strong and so positive and so funny and so kind up until she died. Son of a gun, she lived to be 81. So I wrote, she was a wonderful person. She was married for 58 years. I think I have that right. She and my mom met at St. David's Nursery School, where I was a student, and she became very good friends with my mom, and she first met me when I was about 3 years old. And I could tell many stories, a lot of funny stories that she used to tell. And, you know, they still remained friends after my mom left St. David's in 83. My mom and Cynthia were still friends. And she would come over to my mom's house and do puzzles with my mom. And I didn't like to do puzzles, but I would talk to them. And when I was 8, I had the chicken pox, and Cynthia came over and brought me some presents. And she... And I thanked her for all the things she had given me, and I was learning about politeness, and I wrote, write your welcome on the line. So she mailed the card back and wrote, you're welcome, which is funny. Yeah, so. And I would go to Perkins. I would go out to eat with my mom and Cynthia, and we used to go to the Minnesota Zoo. And she gave me a lot of nice birthday presents, a lot of books about cats, and she would take me out on my birthday. She would take me out for breakfast, and I remained friends with Cynthia, and we did a lot of things. You know, after my mom died, we were closer, and she was like a mother to me after my mom died, and Cynthia and I would go out to eat a lot. And one of the things that she helped me with the most was Weight Watchers. She was a lifetime member at Weight Watchers, and for a long time, she paid for me to go to Weight Watchers, and she helped me become a lifetime member also. So that's something that she helped me with a lot. And I remember when I reached my goal, she was there, and I hadn't seen her for a while, but her face lit up, and she said, wonderful, and she hugged me, and she would send a lot of cards just to say, ask me how I was, and to say, I'm proud of you for what you've done, a lot of nice cards with cats on them, and she was always very supportive, a very good listener. She always cared about what I was going through, and I know she was so outgoing with everybody. And I know she touched a lot of lives with kindness and a wonderful sense of humor and a nice smile. And she was very lovable. And so that's all I want to say.
have a lot of memories of Cynthia, but my favorite one is in about, I don't know, the last half of the 1990s. I was paging through the newspaper-like catalog of Elder Hostel, and I happened upon an Elder Hostel that was, I don't know what it was called, but it was like arts and crafts and creativity. And I thought, oh, I'd love to go to that. And I thought, it would be fun to go to something like that with a girlfriend, and who would that be? And I thought of Cynthia, because she was so creative, and she had been a good friend for a long time. So I called her and I said, Cynthia, do you think you could go with me to Grand Marais to a workshop on Elder Hostel? And she said, oh, she really would like to do that. So we did. We started out in the middle of a March snowstorm, took the bus to Grand Marais, and got off, and by that time it had stopped snowing. And we spent a delightful week together. We stayed in a hotel with rooms very close to the lake, looking straight out on the lake, and we watched the ice coming in and going out, and the icebreakers out in the lake. And we talked and we talked, and we laughed and we laughed, and we got very close during that week of Elder Hostel. So I will always treasure that.
My name is Mary Jo Maher, and I'm speaking for some of us who are in the National League of American Pen Women. We knew Cynthia as such a professional, and yet every single time we were with her, we had the same experiences you have talked about, of the tender, loving kindness. And this is my second Quaker or Friends funeral within a couple months, because one of our other members from the Friends group in St. Paul died. And I first came to appreciate your spirituality through Cynthia, and she represented it to me in every single moment I ever knew her. So when I have come to the meetings, I could see what formed her. That reaching out, that kindness, that compassion, the wit and gentle humor made each time we met with her memorable. When she performed for us with her puppets, we all forgot that they were little creatures with her hands inside. They became alive, each one so individual, so real. And the reason she became a member of the National League is not because of her performances, but because of her writing. Because we are a writers, artists, and composers group, so you have to use the pen, which she did. But in her hands, the words became real words from real people. Not just a little wily fox, he's in here somewhere. he was one of the last ones that she brought to our meeting. She represented to us exactly what she said she wanted to be in the song that, or the poem that Daniel read. She became a song in our hearts, and she will never leave us.
I will be brief. My name is Jim Murray. My wife is Cheryl. I remember Cynthia from some years ago when she came out to our home and gave a masterful puppet show for one of our kids' birthdays. That was really the highlight of the day for my child and the friends. And I just want to say that I will and do remember Cynthia as the greatest puppeteer ever.
As an adult in this meeting, raising children in this meeting, I was very appreciative of Cynthia. I think there are a lot of other children in this meeting who received handwritten notes from Cynthia on a birthday or for a special event. It made them feel like they were part of this community. And that is very valuable for an adult raising children in this community. And she was one of those special adults who children were attracted to. And I, my understanding of why is that she did not let the child that was inside of her die. She let that child out to play every day. And I think kids sometimes have a fear of becoming an adult. And when you know an adult like Cynthia, you can say, it's going to be okay when I'm an adult.
I'm Arnold Anderson. I've been a member of this meeting for over 60 years, and I can't claim to have been a close friend of Cynthia's. I don't think she ever personally shared anything with me, but she has been a tremendously important person in my life because I knew she brought superb expertise in the educational programs of this meeting, and the leadership she provided our children's education in this meeting, even though I never talked to her about it or said anything about it, gave me tremendous reassurance that in that area we were on the right track. And I'm sorry I never really wrote her a letter to express my appreciation. But month after month after month in our monthly meetings for business and Cynthia would report, she was a tremendously important, reassuring person for me, and I'm sure for many, many other people like me in the meeting.
I'm Erin Search-Wells, and I'm one of the kids that grew up in the meeting house. And I wanted to say that one of the ways that Cynthia affected my life, in addition to sending those notes, was that her daughter, Jane, continued to send those types of notes while I was in college, and just encouraging notes. And that was very touching and helpful. Thank you.
Cynthia, well, there's a number of people in this meeting. I came to this meeting 30 years ago. There's a number of people that were like this for me, but Cynthia, very strongly, somebody who, like, she'd come up to you when I was new, in between, all through the years, and look me in the eye, and she'd say, "How are you?" And, you know, some people say that, and they just mean, "How are you? Fine, fine, fine," and that's the end of it. And then if you would say kind of like, "Fine, fine, fine," she'd look at you with those eyes, like, "How are you? Really?" And there was so much love and space there to be with her and tell her.
Thank you. I'd like to tell a little story about Cynthia that's, to the best of my recollection, probably about 47 years ago. I think it was not too long after the Furness family started coming to this meeting, somebody recognized that Cynthia was pretty good at dramatics, and she got appointed to do the annual Christmas pageant, to direct it. Sue's nodding. I have a feeling Sue might have been the Virgin Mary that year. I'm not sure. I was about, I think, 11 or 12 at the time, and I had already reached my adult height, so I was a little bit too tall to play one of the roles in the play. So I got appointed to be Cynthia's stage manager. And for those of you who remember the old meeting house, that end of the building used to have a kind of a raised platform where the, I assume, where the altar had been at one point in the life of this building. And then there was a door that went back into what's now the conference room that came out on the side toward the stage. So that was where the performance was, and backstage was back in that conference room office. And the, you know, the performance was going along swimmingly and everything was just fine. And Cynthia had had this bright idea that when the Virgin Mary placed the baby Jesus in the manger, that the manger would light up and glow. And my job was to unobtrusively go out onto the stage and place a lamp under the manger and then quietly go back into the office. So, you know, at that point I bravely took the lamp in my hand and went out onto the stage to put it under the manger, and I got stopped short halfway to the manger by an extension cord that wasn't long enough. And I stood there, you know, that's very humiliating for a 12-year-old, believe me. Stood there trying to figure out what I should do, and I did the only obvious thing. I turned around and fled back to the office, where I found Cynthia in hysterics, laughing and laughing, and I thought, now I'm really humiliated because she's laughing at me. Well, you know, she got me laughing too, and she taught me something that day about how to laugh at yourself, how to laugh when something ridiculous happens, and make a good joke out of it. She has teased me about that ever since. I'm 58, so, you know, it's been decades that she's been teasing me about that. As recently as this winter, I believe. And it was a bond between us. It was a shared moment of ridiculousness that we have laughed over all these years. I loved that about her, her sense of the ridiculous, and what a perspective that gave her on life in general, to be able to see the silliness of things and laugh about them. And the fact that I had that little bond with her over that one memory, I'm guessing that everybody in this room probably had some kind of a similar experience with Cynthia that she remembered over all the years and reminded us of. And we all had those little bonds with Cynthia, moments of ridiculousness or laughter or a joke that made a real important connection with her.
Well, I've already shared, but there's some other friends of mine who would like to share something. So, see if I can hold them up.
Yes, I was a very good friend of Cynthia's. My name is Morris the Moose, and I used to go out to dinner with Cynthia and Amy, and Cynthia had a couple little cute little poems that she said about me after she got together with me. She said, "The Morris I know you, the Morris I like you." Ha ha ha. That was so cute. And She always commented on how old I was because I was born in 2005. That's written right on my sweater. And I don't know where Cynthia is, but I understand that she died, and that made me sad. And I'm not a puppet, but I can move my arms, and Cynthia would always give me a hug, and that was very nice. And I don't know what else to say. I've been crying, but I loved Cynthia too, and I think there's some other friends back here who might want to say something too.
Hello, I'm Ruby, and this is Max, and we were good friends of Cynthia's too, and the last time we saw Cynthia, Amy was depressed, and Cynthia taught us how to square dance, and we've been trying to remember that since then. And my brother Max has a dime in his pocket. I don't know how it got there, but Cynthia always talked about how cute that was. I don't know what to say. But I was a good friend of Cynthia's, too. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name's Randy Betcher, and I got to know Cynthia through her daughters, most namely Jane, in second grade. And as a second grader, we got invited over to the Furnace House for many of the plays and puppet arrangements. And if there wasn't an audition, there was always something at the end. It always included chocolate milk, and it always included carrots. I thought that was just a subterfuge. I mean, nobody likes carrots as a kid, and she was serving it for snack. Mr. Ward, thank you for telling me about the flower garden. As I sit here in this meeting thinking about it, I think the most appropriate thing that I might contribute to that is from my prairie. And it's something called a lead plant. For those of you that don't know it, lead plant is the plant of the prairie that's the canary of the prairie. If there is no lead plant, your prairie is not as vibrant as it can be. When I planted my lead plant, it was 7 years before it came up and sprouted and flowered. Okay? Its root system is also the deepest of the prairie, going down anywhere from 22 to 25 feet. Its tentacles go out all over the prairie. And as I sit here and look at all of us, we are those tentacles, and she is the flower. And I don't think there could be anything more fitting for me to give to that flower garden than my lead plant.
Hi, I'm Terry Schwartz, and I'm Amy's friend that she took with, roommate that she took with her to date for the funeral. I didn't know Cynthia all that well, but she came over to our house a couple times, and she was a very sweet lady. She made me laugh with her and cheered me up that day when she came when I was feeling down, and that meant a lot to me. She was really a nice lady from what I heard, and Amy thought very highly of her too, and she was very good to Amy and everyone, even though I didn't know her. I miss her too, and it's a shame that she died. She's in a good place now, though. Thank you very much.
Cynthia was a very giving person. And I'm sure that giving is going to go on and on and on. One of the ways I know this is because of the puppets that have spoken today. And many of her puppets are in many, many homes. Because when Cynthia moved, she couldn't move all her puppets with her. And she gave many of them away. And some of them she gave to the Friends for a Nonviolent World craft sale. I don't know how many. But in a box, which was given to me by my daughter, I opened a few Christmases ago, there was one of Cynthia's puppets, a wonderful, wonderful witch. And this witch now plays with my five-year-old grandson, and they have wonderful conversations. So the giving goes on.
My name is Chet Myers, and I'm here with my wife, Miriam. I was janitor for the Quaker meeting in the 1970s and worked my way up to painter and then became ministering secretary for one brief year. The 70s were a pretty heady time, and the meeting was torn up sometimes between with regards to the Vietnam War and the Civil Rights Movement. Miriam and I were very blessed to have eight parents here at the meeting who helped us through those self-righteous years in which we were more self-righteous than we should have been. But just a thanks to Joe and Louise White, Cynthia and Paul Furness, Barbara and Gordon Coffin, and of course Grace and Andy Gibbous. And the lessons we've learned here, we continue to carry on in our own religious community, and I'm just very thankful for the lives of all of the Quakers.
My name is Mary Jean Port, and Cynthia and I were together on a women's weekend. There was a Quaker a pattern where Quaker women went off to a cabin in Wisconsin, and she and I became roommates. This was only about 5 years ago, but the two of us were roommates, and I had never known Cynthia well up to that point. But what I've been thinking about as I was sitting here is how dear that experience was, and how telling it is that somebody can be a good roommate, because she was so tender to be around. But what carries forward for me even more is we had this thing where this group of women went skinny dipping in the lake, and I don't know about you, but there's a few things that are as delicious as skinny dipping in a cool lake. And Cynthia did not do the skinny dipping. She held my wedding ring for me. And after all the other women had gone in, I was still sitting out naked on a lawn chair at the end of the dock with a towel over my shoulder. And she came slowly down the front yard and slowly out the dock and sat in the other lawn chair next to me, and we were both looking straight ahead. And we sat there for the longest time, where the moment just opened out and opened out. And she handed me my ring. She said it was, you know, it was weighing on her to hold something so important. And I put it back on, and then I was sitting here thinking about how if you settle all the way in with someone, even just for a moment, how somehow they come forward with you.
My name is Suzanne Knips, and I just thought I should say a few words to represent Park Shore, where I live and Cynthia lived. And she had so many people that loved her there and still do, but many of them would not be able to come today. So I just think I should say a little something about how she touched the lives of many of us. She was, well, we loved her puppet shows, and she was always so happy. And she brought smiles to a lot of these senior citizens that are little on a stage that they don't feel a lot of joy and happiness, and she would brighten their day. And one of the things that she did for me and for many others was to stick little love notes under the door. And they were always in the form of a poem, and so loving and just made you feel good. So there's many of us there that really will remember Cynthia forever. She touched our lives deeply.
Lindsay, I'm Cynthia's granddaughter, and I'm just going to share a really short, like, recent story. I have two younger cousins on the other side of the family who are, like, 8 and 12 or something, and I brought them over. Grandma said that they could each come over and choose a puppet. So we went over there, and Grandma did a little puppet show for them. And the coolest part about Grandma with her puppet shows is she can see, especially with my younger cousin, Taya, she was just sitting there, couldn't wait to get her hands on the puppet and try him herself. And Grandma was so good about that, she would, you know, she could see that in their eyes, that they're just waiting to touch him, and she was totally hands-on. Everybody could always have a turn and could try them. So anyways, she read a story, and we did puppet shows, and they chose their puppets, and we were leaving, and my Taya turns to me, the younger cousin, and she's like, "Your grandma is so cool."
I'd like to attempt to say a prayer of gratitude for the life of Cynthia. Thank you, God, for the life of Cynthia Furness. We have experienced her effervescence, her delight,
her total ability to be who you really are, full of love, full of life. Be with her dear ones as they struggle during their tears. And help us to remember that she is experiencing a reunion. She is back now with the source of all of her light and all of her love. Amen.